Hey guys, it's Ryan. I want to tell you about my new pastime, Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has been around for over a decade, delivering the most fun you can have online. Play social casino style games for free anytime, anywhere. So sign up at chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21 plus.
Save big money in your next painting project now at Menards. From your kitchen and bath to doors and trim and even your ceilings, Dutch Boy has the perfect finish for your painting projects. Dutch Boy's DuraFighter is a tough paint and primer that provides great scrub resistance and durability. Save big on Dutch Boy paints. Plus, view our weekly flyer on Menards.com and get your painting project started today.
Save big money at Menards.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to the United Stands. I'm Mark Goldbridge. This is your latest Manchester United transfer news and sale news as the Glazers look to sell Manchester United again. This is not coming in from the Sun. This is coming from business background journalists. We'll talk about that, of course. An Anderson bid goes in. It's not from Manchester United. I think this, for me, is bigger news. Why are we not bidding for a player that we've told everybody we want for 9 months and we're just going to sit back and let it happen? Why is that not something that's irritating the fan base this morning? We'll also talk about the latest on Fernandes and a few other bits as well. But where do we start this morning? Do we start with the sale news? Do we start with the Anderson bid news? Look, both of them are big. And look, I will read both and then we will delve into both as well. So last night came in from David Ornstein, Laurie Whitwell, Athletic. Man City have made an opening offer for Nottingham Forest's Elliot Anderson. Forest have rejected the bid, but City's pursuit of the England international remains ongoing. The City ground club will look to get the best possible deal if Anderson is to leave this summer. Manchester United also held interest, but their stance has long been they would not bid as high as the figures Forest are expected to want, and other midfield targets have been seen as more credible. What an utter load of bollocks! And I'm going to say it, what a load of bollocks. I'm fed up of this football club treating fans like mugs. They made the same amount of money from 10 home games this season that they made in 15 last year, which means they've hiked the prices up. How do they get away with hiking the prices up? I'll tell you how they do it. They facilitate stories about Elliot Anderson all summer and ambition. And they facilitate those stories by talking about Project 28 and winning titles. And every bloody month for 9 months, we've had Elliot Anderson from David Ornstein, from Fabrizio Romano, from Laurie Whitwell, from the Manchester Evening News, because they haven't made it up. They've been given that information by somebody. But then when it comes to the 9 months later, where you've spent 9 months talking about him and telling everybody he's your top priority to build excitement around the club, to make people buy tickets and buy shirts and buy into the bollocks, when it actually comes down to it, you go, no, actually he's too expensive. What do you mean he's too bloody expensive? How can you spend 9 months telling all the credible journalists that this is your number one priority? But then when it comes down to it, you go, well, we didn't know he was going to be £100 million. You know what? It really does annoy me. It really annoys me. And I hope the bloody Glazers do sell. I hope they do piss off, because I'm fed up with it. I'm fed up with the way the club treats its fans. It's disgusting. It's, you know, it's nothing short of a con. That's what it is. Buy the shirt, buy the tickets, keep the club afloat on our false promises. Again. And I'm not bloody buying that. I'm not having that. Man United have held an interest, but they think the price is too high and they want to go for more credible players. Well, if you think that, you knew it in September. Everybody knew Elliot Anderson was going to cost £100 million and United still allowed Ornstein and Romano and the Athletic and the Manchester Evening News to put it out that it was the number one priority. You know, United can't cry innocent in that, because they could have picked the phone up in January and said, Fabrizio, we've seen that you've got a story that Anderson's our number one priority. He isn't. I mean, we would not want our fans to think something's going to happen that's not going to happen, because we really don't want to, you know, take the piss out of our own fans. So, Fabrizio, if you could put it out there that he's not a top priority for that, that would be great. Hello, David. David, yeah, it's Jason. Coxie, yeah. Again, I've just had this chat with Fabrizio about Anderson being a top priority. Yeah, we can't afford that, mate. Yeah. Just say it's not. We just don't want to give our fans false promises, yeah? Have we done that? No. Even as recently as 2 weeks ago, Elliot Anderson was still Man United's priority. How can something be a priority that you can't afford? explain that one to me. So it does piss me off because I feel like we've been, I feel like we've been lied to. I feel like we've been took the piss out of. I feel like we look at, and also I think we look like amateurs again. I'm actually quite protective of this football club. I care about it. I want to be in debates with other fans about what a great football club it is. We'll be laughed at again. But they don't care because they'll be making some money somewhere here. They'll have made a load of shirt sales or something will have happened that allows them to. Yeah, but if we look like we're going to do something good, we make money. People are taking the piss. You know, I've had a Liverpool fan message me this morning and going, Elliot Anderson, the priority, is he? Laughing emoji. I've just said, fuck off. You know, we will still be friends. But I'm like, it just annoys me. I don't care if they're honest. But they won't be honest because they don't like being honest. Because if they're honest, we'll call them out. We don't want to, let's get real. We don't want to spend over £80 million on anybody, okay? I'm not even the director of football. I'm not the owner. We don't want to pay over £80 million for anybody, okay? So we're not signing Tonali and we're not signing Anderson, are we? We're not. Now, I might be completely wrong about that, but I think I'm probably right. So why not just put that out there? Why not put that out there that we're not looking to do these sort of deals anymore? Because it just annoys me. The amount of times we've spoken about Elliot Anderson being the top priority for 9 bloody months. And then he's literally for sale. Man City put a bid in. And the news out of United is we will not pay what Nottingham Forest want. And you know what Nottingham Forest want? They want around £100 million. They want what Arsenal paid for Declan Rice. What did we think the price was going to be? What did we think the price was going to... I'd love to know what we thought the price was going to be. And that's what annoys me about it. We'll come back to it because Rip says, what about the club up for sale? Okay, I want to talk to you about this as well. Oh, blood... I tell you what, Kevin Keegan time. I will bloody love it if they sell the club and piss off. I will love it. I would really bloody love it. I would absolutely love it. So where this is coming from, and I want to just give you the background on this, just so you know, because I'll be honest with you from the very start here. I have no interest in this. I have no passion. I have no excitement, nothing. I genuinely don't. Also, apparently Man United are going to make 5 new signings this summer. We'll talk about that in a moment as well. But where is this? Here we go. So it's coming in from Bloomberg Business that's got 10 million followers. So this is a business page. So you've got Sky Business, BBC Business, Bloomberg, very business orientated. So this is not coming in from... And I always say this, whenever it's to do with the ownership of Man United... And when we were talking about the sale before, you do get people like Mike Keegan, Ben Jacobs, who are very good on that side of things. You know, they understand it. But predominantly, when it comes down to a sale, you know, realistically, it's the business pages, you know, that you want to be looking at. So this has come out from Bloomberg. Some members of the Glazer family have been debating whether or not to sell their stake in Manchester United. Several of them have been studying the possibility of selling off part or all of their holdings in the club. So that's, remember, I don't know how many Glazers actually do own a stake in Manchester United, but it goes further. Any sale is expected to attract interest from Middle Eastern investors and wealthy US buyers, though the club would command a significant price. So some of the members of the Glazer family are considering selling their stake in Manchester United after more than 20 years of ownership. Now, Joel and Jim and Avram, isn't it? I don't know how many siblings, brothers and sisters the Glazers have got who have a stake in Manchester United. But look, if you want the logic, essentially... at the end, when Sir Jim Radcliffe bought the club, there was something that is in operation, I think, from December this year, where the Glazers can sell. I don't think they can in the first 2 years of the Ineos buy, but they can sell their shares from December this year. And there's nothing Sir Jim Radcliffe can do about it apart from getting first refusal. So basically, imagine... I'm not being the Glazers. You're the Glazers. I'm Sir Jim Radcliffe, right? I can't even pretend I'm a Glazer. I'm not doing it. So you're the Glazers. I'm Sir Jim Radcliffe, yeah? and you own Man United and I buy 25% for 1.7 billion, yeah? And I say, as part of that deal, you cannot sell any part of your shares in the first 2 years, yeah? And you go, yeah, that's fine. And also, if after 2 years you do decide to sell any of your shares, I get first refusal, yeah? Okay. So basically what could happen is, in December, some of the Glazers could sell their shares. There's nothing Sir Jim Ratcliffe can do about it, apart from he will get first choice to buy them, but he doesn't get a reduced rate. It has to be at market value. So they could value those shares at, you know, a billion for 10% or a billion for 5%. He would have to play that. He would have to pay that. So look, I will sit here and say, for all of you that are excited, that's the pathway. They can do it. Sir Jim Ratcliffe can't stop it. They could sell another 10%. They could sell another 20%. They can do that. And I always said the ownership structure of Manchester United is a mess. You've got just over 50% in the hand of the Glazers, and they're not one person. They're all brothers and sisters with their own needs and wants and greed, whatever you want to call it. You've got Sir Jim Ratcliffe with about 28%, and then you've got individual shareholders as well. So it's not a clean ownership model at Man United anyway. There are a lot of different... Well, look, you know, if you own a pub and three of you own it, and even if you're mates, one day one of your mates might wake up and say, I don't like that food. You know, I want it to be an Indian restaurant now. I don't want to do burgers and chips and Sunday roasts. So it can fall apart. Of course it can. I don't think the ownership structure of Manchester United is very good. Do I think it's going to happen? No. I've been down this road too many times to think that United will get out of this situation that they're in. And also, it doesn't mean Sir Jim Ratcliffe's going anywhere. So, look, it is in Bloomberg. It is a business paper. It does say some of the Glazers are thinking of selling. Of course they could sell. But the reality is there's a new stadium that's going to get built. That's going to take a lot of investment. Man United's never been more of a business than it is today. It was a business 20 years when the Glazers bought it on debt. It was a business transaction when Sir Jim Ratcliffe bought 25%. But it's never been more of a business than it is today. And it's fragmented as well. There's too many fingers in the pie. There's too many people looking for a piece of Man United to make money. I don't even know if the Glazers selling off more and diluting it even more is a good thing. Because you could have Sir Jim Ratcliffe with 25%. The Glazers could dilute their percentage. Someone else could come in and say, we'll have a bit of the pie as well. And also, this is purely speculative. What if this is just a lead up to whoever's going to invest in the stadium gets a percentage of the club as well? Quantum says there are six siblings. But, you know, it could be... United need to borrow so much money from private investors, will give you 5% of the club as well. I've always thought that might happen. How do you get somebody to build a new stadium for you? There's 2 billion. Give us 3 billion back over 10 years. Or there's 2 billion. You can have 10% in the club. So it could be that as well. But it's not a full sale. And as everyone in the chat's saying, this is not a full sale. So this is just another dilution potential of the ownership of Manchester United. And what United need, and what some of the bloody Sir Jim Rimmers did with Ineos Rimmers, they said, oh, Sir Jim will have the whole club by 2026. He's not even got a pathway to half of the club. So we are where we are. We're more diluted than we ever are. So I don't see Manchester United selling the club anytime soon, if I'm being completely honest with you. But that is the news. We can come back to that. Get your comments in. I want to go back to transfer stuff. If you missed the start of the show, Manchester City have put their first bid in for Elliot Anderson. I don't like that, by the way. I'll tell you in a minute why. So they put their first bid in. Ben Jacobs says they'll be back. It's been rejected. They'll be back. And Man United will not bid because the price is too high. I know. You spend 9 months circulating a story that is our priority and then you don't even bid. And what does that say to us about our ambition, by the way? What do Man United actually mean to you at the moment? I mean, look, Man United to me means everything. You know, it's the club my granddad supported, Duncan Edwards on the shelf, amazing story. That Man United doesn't exist at the moment, though. You know, even the Man United of the 90s with the likes of Beckham and Giggs and Keane doesn't exist anymore. The team of the noughties with Ronaldo and Rooney and Scholes doesn't exist anymore. We're a different Manchester United. But even on a very simple level, is it not? If you look at the last 6 months, we really, really want Semenyu. He chooses Man City. If you look at the whole season, we really, really want Anderson. He's the priority. We don't even bid for him. You can't say it's an ambitious football club. I think we are demonstrating publicly our lack of ambition. Our ambition is money. Our ambition is business. It's not success on the pitch. You know, it's just not. Interesting story come out from the Manchester Evening News. I've just literally been sent this. So Ndjaye is on Man United's shortlist if they move for a left winger this summer. Interest in Morgan Rogers, who can also play that role, but competition will be fierce. Ndjaye would offer flexibility in attacking positions. It's interesting that the Manchester Evening News have spoken about Ndjaye from Everton because he was mentioned by Ben Jacobs yesterday. I was watching the Beth and Ben show late last night, and I didn't mention it on the 8 o'clock show, which is why you should always watch the Ben Jacobs show with Beth, because there's loads of stuff in there that I don't necessarily repeat on the 8 o'clock show. But he did mention him as a left wing option for Manchester United. Look, the only problem I have with Ndjaye at Everton is pronouncing his name. I just can't pronounce it. I never will be able to pronounce it. But, you know, he's almost like a Cunha on the left wing. He's like a proper winger, but he plays like Cunha. He's like Cunha if Cunha was a left winger, and Cunha's not a left winger, he's a 10. He's a bit quicker. He's got a lower centre of gravity, and he's a bit more skillful. But he can play as a number 10 as well. So, I mean, look, is that a reason not to go for him? Well, no, because I think he's more of a left winger than Cunha. And he can play as a number 10. Morgan Rogers is a number 10 who also plays where Cunha plays. So if anything, Ndjaye is more of a winger. He's more of an actual winger. So if you bought him, he is a left winger. So I wouldn't be opposed to that. But I agree with Alexander, get Nusa. Like, the price you will pay for Ndjaye from Everton, because it will be at a premium. And I think what I would say is we will get so many players linked to Manchester United this summer, and I enjoy it. I must admit, from talking about the sale to talking about Ndjaye, my mood has gone through the roof. I feel a lot more excited now, because I'd rather have those conversations than the speculative bullshit about how the Glazers can mess this club up even more over the next decade. So Ndjaye from Everton would be an interesting profile of player. I liked him last season, not the season that's just gone, the season before. I watched him a couple of times and I liked him, and I think he's got even better last season. But remember Branthwaite, who is still a player I would not be surprised if Man United went for, by the way. I will say this now, Branthwaite Everton, I think, is more likely than Ndjaye. I just think Man United and Ineos have got this strange obsession with Branthwaite. But look, let me talk to you about Ndjaye. And Branthwaite, right? We wanted Branthwaite the summer before last instead of Yoro. And we were willing to pay 50 million and they wanted 60. In fact, I think they wanted 70.
Hey, it's Bubba Wallace from 2311 Racing. You know what it feels like forever? Sitting on a plane waiting for takeoff. Good thing I've got Chumba Casino. With daily boosts and social casino games on tap, this is the kind of fun that makes time fly. Why not turbocharge your downtime? Play now at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
We have the tech to get food delivered in 15 minutes, but we all have horror stories about buying tickets. The Game Time app gives fans the advantage. Get amazing tickets in just a few taps. Fees are included, so what you see is what you pay. And the Game Time guarantee means authentic tickets at the best price every time. Take the guesswork out of buying tickets to concerts, sports, comedy, and more with Game Time. Download the Game Time app and create an account for $20 off your first purchase. Terms apply.
it's going to be 60 to 70 million pounds again for Ndiaye. Now, is he worth that amount of money? You will get Nusa for that. And I think Nusa is a better player. So I do like Ndiaye. Interesting story this morning coming out from the Manchester Evening News that Man United are looking at him. To be fair, Ben Jacobs said it on our 2 o'clock show yesterday. So he clearly is on the shortlist as a left wing option. He is playing in the World Cup, I think. So it's not a deal that's going to happen very quickly. But also, I think that he is a player that would, because it's Everton, I think you're probably looking at maybe 60 to 70 million pounds. Now, he's 26, but he's only just 26. So that's fine. That's not going to put Manchester United off. From a contract perspective, let me have a quick look. He has a contract until 2029. So 3 years left on his contract, 26 years of age. It's a good time for Everton to cash in, but they're probably going to want 60, maybe 70 million. What Everton will do, and in fairness, they're not wrong, what Everton would do if we approach them is we'd probably go in and say 40 million. And Everton would say, well, we're starting at 65 because that's what you paid for Mbeumo a year ago. And you bought him from Brentford and we believe he's the same price as that. So that they'd want 65, maybe 70. So I do agree with Alexander. I probably would go with Nusa in that sense. But you know, I'm a big fan of him. I think he's a good player. Carrying on, get your comments in. Lots to talk about. I want to talk next about Paul Hurst in the Times. Times journalist saying that Ederson will be the first of up to five new signings for Manchester United this summer. Remember yesterday, the story was about it could be two or three midfielders. It's got to be three. We've then got a story as well from Paul Hurst that it'll be up to five. Is five enough for Man United? I want to talk about that, of course. Let's have a quick look. I just want to catch up on some of your comments. I've just completely realised there's quite a lot to get into this morning and I've completely and utterly neglected you. Glazers won't sell. It's to distract from the Anderson news, says Dave. And again, you might be right. You might be right. I mean, I hate to say it, Dave. Even I haven't said it. And, I'm very cynical. You might be right. Anderson's going to Man City. Let's put a story out there that distracts our fan base for 2 weeks. And if you don't think that happens, remember the October international break when a lot of people wanted Amorim to be sacked? What happened in October? Remember the story about Dubai and the sale? What happened with that? See, elephant memory. That's what you've got as well. I don't forget. I don't forget the spin. Last October international break, we're being bought by Dubai. Was it Turki Alashek who put it out there as well? What happened to that story? Oh, could it have been a story that was put out there to distract us for a couple of weeks? You're probably right, Dave. You will not get me excited about Man United selling, the Glazers selling, until they hold up the shirt. And that's just a saying, you know. A lot of people say it about transfers. I'm not getting excited until I see him holding up the shirt. And I'm not getting excited about the Glazers selling, even though I think it would be the best thing to happen to this football club in a very long time. I'm not going to get excited about the Glazers selling until they're holding up the shirt. I'm not. Patrick Lynch says, so we can't afford to buy the likes of Anderson and the Glazers are selling. How much spin do they think we'll fall for? Can't believe any briefs that come from journalists at United. They're all lackeys. Client journalists, Patrick. Client journalists, that's what they are. Although, to be fair, that came from Bloomberg, which is a business journalist outlet. So I will say that this has not come out from the normal client journalist. This has come out from Bloomberg. The irony is, instead of telling bullshit on marquee signings, if they signed it, the return on investment will be paid off immediately. Abramovich shirt sales alone proved that, says Seth. Mate, the biggest spike in our share price we've had in the last decade in a summer transfer window was when Mourinho got announced. Our share price went through the roof. I mean, the evidence is there. If you are successful and do exciting things, you will make more money. When Ronaldo came back, I bet they made bloody loads of money. So, yeah, they've never figured that one out. Good morning, Mark. One plus one Glazers sales spin to distract from probably missing out on Anderson. I tell you what, I want to applaud all you lot this morning. You've all figured that one out, and I never even bloody said it, which is the brilliance of community. I mean, I do know a lot. I am very opinionated. I am being sarcastic there. But I don't catch everything, and that's why I love this community, because I never even thought about the spin. And you're absolutely right. Of course it's probably spin. Man City put a bid in for Anderson, and suddenly the Glazers might be selling. You're right. You're absolutely right. Thank you very much, Fours. Bored spinners, knowing we'd never get him. Shitbags, says Damien. I don't see a world we don't spend at least 100 million for a top-class DM. Madrid and Newcastle will ask around the same. Just bid for Anderson, says Peter. Even though I see it as shite, but I can understand that United don't want to go in bidding war against City. Forest ain't forced to sell either. Bid what they want or go to other top targets, says Ayus. Look, mate, at the end of the day, there is another angle. We won't bid because we know he wants to go to City. But you know what? I'd rather know that than, yeah, we don't want to bid. Maybe the truth is they know he wants to go to City and we've lost again and they lost to Semenyu. So maybe that's what it is. And I tell you what, as good as Elliot Anderson is, I will say this and I don't care. If Elliot Anderson has chosen Manchester City over Manchester United, in my opinion, which I'm entitled to have, what planet is he on? Is it just money? Mate, you played at Old Trafford a couple of weeks ago. It's a very big difference to playing for Manchester United in the midfield than it is for playing for Manchester City. Very big difference. Pep Guardiola's not there either anymore. Also, you know what? And I will say this. If Man City get found guilty and they get relegated, Elliot Anderson, Semenyu, Gehi, you knew what you were walking into. You knew what you were walking into. So, you know, if these players are picking Man City over Man United on money, good luck to them. And I don't mean good luck to them. I mean, you know, there could be a reality there. If we were competent enough to find the next Tonali or Anderson, I would still been okay. For sure, it's going to be Fernandez and Baleba next, as reality speaks different. Would you use Rashford in a swap deal for Rodgers, says Jack? I can't see Rashford going to Villa. The longer we don't... I wouldn't... Swap deals don't exist either, so... But hypothetically, no, I think... And also, I think Villa in a swap deal for Rashford would probably still want 70 million and say Rashford's only worth 20. VX says, the longer we don't buy a marquee player, the more I believe it was all bullshit. All United transfer news should be taken with a grain of salt until proven, says VX. We wouldn't pay the 100 million for Kane or Rice, and that worked out well. Where are they now? League champions. We're just a cash cow, not a football club, says Pete Phillips. When new owner is holding a scarf, then I'll believe it, says Ray. And Goldfridge says, honestly, I think it's clear we've been told by the Anderson camp he prioritises City. We've been backing away for a few months now. Blaming price is to save face. You might be right about that. Welcome to the Members Club, the new... thank you very much for joining that and getting your badge in. Daniel Thompson says, hello, everyone, and the United Stand. City go for Anderson, so we get things like Glazers maybe selling to try and spin something bad in losing our top target to a rival because we can't be bothered to fight to a positive. Bullshit from United again. You know what, though, Daniel? Reading a lot of the comments and, you know, from what I've said as well, I think people either think it's bullshit PR that the Glazers might sell or they don't care. I don't see anybody online or in our community going, oh, this is great news. I'm so excited. Who could be buying us? That, you know, the thing is, when you cry wolf three or four times, people don't listen. I don't think there's a United fan this morning waking up to an article in Bloomberg, which is a business outlet, about the Glazers potentially selling. I don't think there's a United fan this morning going, ooh, I don't. I didn't even want to lead on it. Like Greg says, he doesn't care. I want to talk about why we're not bidding for Anderson. I want to talk about who we're going for then. If the Glazers hold up the shirt saying we've sold Man United, fine, I'll celebrate. But I don't, you know, I think it's been cried wolf multiple times over the last few years. I don't think there's a United fan out there that's excited about the Glazers selling the club. And I don't think we will be. Even if it's actually going to happen, it will still take 8 months. And I don't think over the next 8 months anyone's going to get excited. Because would you trust them to sell it to anybody decent? No. Probably go to another American investment fund or you know, whatever. So I don't think anybody's excited about it at all. And if you don't know the story, someone just said the boy who cried wolf, question mark. So basically, very quickly, there's an old story. Well, it was something we got taught at school. So basically, the shepherds wanted some time off. So they got this local lad from the village to look after the sheep up on the hill. And they're all down the pub or whatever, or, you know, relaxing with their wives. And they hear this boy shouting, wolf, wolf, wolf. So they all run up to the village with their sticks to beat the wolf up. And he's laughing. He goes, oh, sorry, I was just bored. It was a joke. And they went, oh, you little shit. So they go back down to the village and he's like, oh, bored again. So he cries, wolf, wolf, wolf. And they all run up with their sticks again. And he goes, oh, I was joking. And they go, you little rascal, bloody little shit. So they go off again. Anyway, a couple of hours later, a wolf does turn up and he goes, wolf, wolf, wolf. And all the blokes, all the shepherds, they're down the pub and they go, oh, he's having a laugh again. Piss off. We'll stay and watch the football. Anyway, they go back the next day. No sheep and no kids. The wolves ate a lot of them. And that's because the boy was taking a piss. And that's the Glazers, isn't it? Sail, sail, sail. Ha ha, well, it's a joke, it's spin. So, yeah, I don't think anybody believes it anymore. Did the boy get eaten by the wolf as well? Yeah, well, I always got told that the wolf ate the sheep and the boy was there crying at the end going, he's ate all the sheep. But the real version is the wolf eats the sheep and the kid. It's a harsh world. So for the last year, these morons shamelessly put stories out about Anderson to deflect from tough periods, only for City to put a bid in. Stupid idiots, says Raja. Yeah, look, I want to talk about a couple of other things, but we've still got plenty of time left. I don't know whether this frustrates you as much as it frustrates me. I've been talking about it for a long time. I know, but I don't find it acceptable. You know, I've worked in businesses. I work in one now. And you know, ultimately, a lot of what we say is watched by a lot of people. Little clips go here and there. And honesty is the best policy. People might not like your opinions, but they're real, right? And if somebody doesn't like your opinion, then you have to stand by it. You know, if I think we need to sell Luke Shaw, I think we need to sell Luke Shaw. You might disagree with me. I detest bullshitters. I detest manipulation. And I think that, you know, I've been saying this for 9 months. I don't trust that United really want Elliot Anderson. And then there'll be another article that Man United want Elliot Anderson. I could spend an hour after this show searching. I don't know, I get AI to do it. List me all the articles in the last 9 months about Man United wanting Elliot Anderson. And it will be plentiful. I guarantee there's over 50. And it will include credible journalists in there. That will be briefed information, probably from somebody at the club. So when that was briefed, what was the plan? You're happy for it to say Elliot Anderson's a priority, but when it comes down to it, you don't even bid. So what is that? You explain that to me. For 9 months, we want Elliot Anderson. And not only do we want Elliot Anderson, he's our top priority. And then you don't even bid for him because he's too expensive. So are you a bunch of morons who didn't realise his price, or are you manipulative? It's got to be one of the two, hasn't it? So I find it really annoying. And the biggest problem I have with it is that whatever their motivation is, stupidity or manipulation, the end game is Manchester City are down the road from Man United. They're more successful than us. And for the second time in 6 months, they've took a player that we want. This wouldn't happen under Sir Alex Ferguson. I know a football game is won on the pitch, but there are battles off the pitch. And to lose two players that we want to Manchester City says everything about who we are. And as United fans, those battles off the pitch are as important as the ones on the pitch. We have to be a big club. We have to believe we're a big club. And these actions from Sir Jim Ratcliffe and the Glazers make us look like a small club. We're losing these battles off the pitch. You can't say this player for 9 months is our number one priority and then watch Man City just buy him like that and go, oh, yeah, it was too expensive. What, you know, there will be people going, oh, you're making too big a deal of it. Fine, but tell me what the message is then. Because perception, public perception, is everything. Look, I don't want to get too serious, but remember Mason Greenwood didn't go to court, but a lot of people still don't like him. Public perception. Man United are going to sell the club to Qatar. Rio Ferdinand's there. You know, I'm hearing it's Qatar. Didn't happen. We end up being bought 25% by Sir Jim Radcliffe. Public perception. So how you behave has an impact on what people think of you. Pop stars, politicians, everything, yeah? 9 months of We Want Elliot Anderson, they can't hide from that. The articles are there. There will be an article from David Ornstein. There will be articles from Romano. There will be stuff about him being our priority. Goes to Man City. What's the public perception there? We're not a big club. We're not serious. We're not ambitious. We don't have the pull. We don't have the money.
What's up, fools? Main Event Jey Uso here from the WWE. When it's just me between matches, it's day one-ish. And that means it's Chumba time. With hundreds of casino-style games and new titles arriving weekly, there's always something fresh to try at Chumba Casino. The daily boosts make it even more fun. And have me about to get them all during my downtime. Ready for a fun way to chill out and enjoy a few minutes for yourself? Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
I don't want Man United to be that. I want us to be honest. I want us to go, we didn't want Elliot Anderson. He was never a priority. We never really wanted him. But they've put it out there that they did. I won't believe it until it happens. Glazers and Anderson, says Mark. And Pengus says, real easy to see how both clubs operate. City go and get Anderson. United get several players hoping one turns into an Anderson. Ambition versus delusion. Edison is a defensive player. That was from Pengers. Edison is a defensive player, and so is Fernandez and Tchouaméni. So we'll buy only one of those, and Scott or Belaba will be third, says Bale Will Justice. And Keel Robinson says, I can't really get excited about anyone because I have no idea how Carrick wants to play. Was Anderson a priority for a different way of playing, says Keel. And that United guy says, no way five signings are enough. We need improvements in a lot more positions. We're going to play Champions League football next season, for God's sake. Marlow says, do you think it's a problem to sign so many midfielders in one window? Can't promise them all them a place in the starting 11. The pitch isn't great, says Marlow. But we have to do it, Marlow, because as I said last night, if we haven't got four midfielders and we've only got three, we're in trouble as soon as there's an injury. In fact, you don't even need an injury. You're in trouble after 70 minutes because your two midfielders might not be playing well. They might be tired. They might have another game on Wednesday. You might, you know, one sub in the midfield is not enough. And if you get an injury, you're in big trouble. So I think we actually need five midfielders, which means we need to sign four players. Definitely need to sign three. Rajaf says, wait, the Glazers are selling. I joined just now. I'd go back. I'd go back and watch it. Chris Jackson says, idea for after show, Goldbridge reads nursery rhymes. No, Goldbridge analyzes nursery rhymes because, you know, Ring a Ring of Roses, that's about the plague. I'm very interested in this sort of stuff. I won't believe it until it happens. That was from Mark. Okay, let me talk about this story then. So Paul Hurst, who is a journalist for The Times, says Edison will be the first of up to five new signings for Man United this summer. Now, many of you can't moan about this. I've certainly said it as well. We don't believe we'll sign more than five. Ben Jacobs thinks it could be up to eight. I think it needs to be up to eight. But it depends what you class as a significant signing. Spending 5 million on a backup goalkeeper is technically a signing, but it doesn't move the needle, does it? Five signings, would that be enough for Man United? Well, look, what I will say is, if they're five good signings, that has to be a minimum. If it's three bench players and two decent signings, it's not enough. But I was thinking about this. Would five be enough for Manchester United? Well, three midfielders takes you to over half place already. A left back, a good left back, is four, which means you've only got one left. And a lot of you want a centre back, a backup striker, and a winger. So you see what I mean? Seven plus a backup goalkeeper maybe is eight. plus a right back would be nine. We're not going to get that. So I don't know that five is enough. You've got to get three midfielders. You've got to get a left back. So then your last position is either a left winger, a backup striker, or a centre-back. I'm not bothered about a centre-back. So for me, it's a backup striker or a left winger. So realistically, five isn't enough, is it? Rob says, Ben Jacobs says it could be eight. He's been told to say that to boost the media engagement of the club. Well, you know what? I don't blame Ben Jacobs. I don't blame David Ornstein. I don't blame Fabrizio Romano if they're saying what they're being told. If you're a journalist and you get told by somebody who knows a credible source, maybe someone in the club, that United might buy up to eight players, are you going to go, you're a lying twat, you'll never get any information again? Or are you going to put it out there and say it could be up to eight players? Yes, it could be client journalism. Of course it could. But we've just spent about 10 minutes talking about that Anderson story and how United were happy for that story to be out there for 9 months and then they don't even bid. So my answer to is it spin? Well, was the Anderson story spin? It's the definition of spin. How can you have 9 months of he's our priority and then not bid? It has to be spin. And I know for a fact, because I've spoken to previous commercial people at Man United, marketing people, media people. They hate it. They used to hate it. I won't give you the name, but, and it wasn't Andrew who left last season. It was before him. There used to be a comms person at Man United quite high up, and he would get in contact quite regularly if I said spin. They absolutely hated it. I don't think they do now, but they used to hate it when it was like it's spin from the club. Well, I'm sorry if anyone from the club is watching. What is it if you put out there 9 months to credible journalists that Elliot Anderson is a priority and then you don't even bid? There might be an explanation, but you can't blame fans for thinking it's spin. So what's the consequences of that? Nothing. There's no protests, nothing. Why shouldn't Man United say we might sign eight players for positivity? If we only sign four, what happens? Oh, I thought we'd buy an eight. Yeah, we might buy eight. There's no consequence to bullshit, basically. There's no consequence to, you know, next season they could say their priority is Jude Bellingham. When the transfer window closes and it's not the one we want, the day after, is that Samuel Lookhurst? Is that Laurie Whitwell? Yeah, Bellingham's the priority for 9 months. Yeah, just keep putting it out there. Is he? Well, yeah, we'd love to buy him, and who knows? So, you know, next year it could be Bellingham for 9 months. And then when it hits next summer, yeah, we're not signing Bellingham. I just feel like that's where we've got to. That's the modern way with Man United now. It doesn't matter if it's true, as long as people believe it. You know, we might buy eight players, but would you be surprised if we only buy five? We might. Mojo says, while 107 Mad Mac, I'll move you on. You rude person. Goodbye. Mojo says, while 100 million player is out of our reach given our finances, but I also believe Anderson wants City because City wouldn't like a situation where they've been rejected by a marquee player who then signs for United, says Mojo. Yeah. But you know what? If that's the truth and Elliot Anderson does prefer Man City over Man United, then again, think of the perception, Mojo. This is what I'm talking about. We don't even care. We'd rather take the positivity of 9 months of stories that we want Elliot Anderson and take the L that he wants to go to Man City than actually keep it quiet and never be linked to him, but just keep it quiet. That says a lot as well. We've publicly been okay with him being our priority and we're okay with him choosing Man City. There's a time where you wouldn't want that. I don't think Sir Alex Ferguson would want that. I think he'd be knocking on the door of comms saying, why is it out there that we want Elliot Anderson? Well, you do. I know I do. But what if he chooses Man City? I look a fucking idiot. We're Manchester United. We have a chat with him. And if he wants to go to Man City, and then it comes out that we had a chat with him, we'd just go, no, we didn't.
you know, why are we putting it out there that we want him and then he goes to Man City? It's embarrassing. But we don't care anymore because in the boardroom now, it's like, yeah, but we've had 9 months of positivity, you know? It works. Squad player my arse is Double D. You come to United to fight for a starting place, and why the hell are we not going for a new right back? Thank you very much, pal. Your boy says, are United acting like a smaller club, not using their pulling power to the fullest and hoping these smaller signings work out, says your boy. And Sean Turner, hope you're doing well, says, I can see it now. Tchouaméni wasn't for sale. Tonali was too much. And Anderson wanted City. Excuses. We're going to end up with Edison and Belaba. Jandy says, what about a Delo for Trent swap? Yay or nay? I would never bring Trent Alexander-Arnold to Man United. I think there's off-field issues with him, as we've seen. I mean, why is he not in the England team? It makes no sense. He's crap defensively, and he also played for Liverpool. Positives, I think, going forward, he's very, very good, but I think those three barriers would be, you know, would I swap him for Delo? I mean, he's better than Delo, but I think that, you know, sometimes you got to look at the situation and say, it's a no for me. There was something last night from the Mirror that Manchester United officials have travelled to London for talks with West Ham over a possible move for Fernandes, with discussions focused on payment structure. If progress is made, an opening bid could follow within the next 48 hours. West Ham value the midfielder at 70 to 80 million, leaving a notable gap for the two clubs to bridge. I mean, look, I would not be surprised talking about, you know, public perception. I would not be surprised that hot on the heels of Anderson to Man City, Man United push ahead on Fernandes. But I would say, look, Fernandes has got a lot of potential, but there's a very big difference between signing Fernandes from West Ham and Edison from Atalanta and being in the conversation for Elliot Anderson. And I can't be a hypocrite. I've said this for many years. We're a long way behind Arsenal and Man City. If we want to close the gap, you've got to buy players they want. You can't go buying players they don't want and expect to close the gap, because basically you need Edison or Fernandes, who aren't there at the moment, to be the next Tchouaméni or Tonali or Anderson. And maybe they can be, but how long does that take? Does it even happen? If we're going to keep buying potential over ready to go, we'll always be potential. So I'm not knocking the signing of Fernandes. It probably will move now because they know they're not getting Anderson. But, you know, why are we going for Fernandes? Is it because he's going to be 60 million instead of 100? Or is it because we think he's better than Anderson? Or is it because Anderson's chose City and that's all we can get? These are answers we don't have the answer to, of course.
Yeah, I've done that one as well. Thank you.
Yeah. I will mention this again. Just keep an eye on Real Madrid as well. Tchouaméni is still potentially a possibility. All sorts going on with Real Madrid at the moment. Florentino Perez is the current president. Presidential elections are happening this week. It's expected that he will win, but the opposition has said that if he wins, he's going to buy Rodri and Haaland. Haaland's people have come out and said, you know, good luck to Real Madrid, but we're not going. So, yeah, it's not great for that person. But also, Perez is on the offensive as well. Apparently, they're going to go for Vitinha. They've been linked to João Neves. Obviously, they've been linked to Rodri. Real Madrid will be a real force, I think, next season. That's not my conversation. My conversation is, when they start buying midfielders, that's when it gets interesting, because Valverde and Bellingham are expected to stay. If they then bring in the likes of Vitinha or a João Neves or a Rodri, then, you know, does Tchouaméni sit on the bench or does he push for a move? I still think Tchouaméni could be our saviour this summer transfer window. We've got to get a marquee signing in. It looks like Anderson might not be happening because we're not even bidding. So I still think Tchouaméni could happen. I might be massively naive, you know, but I do hear things, and I still do think that could happen. I foresee United spin saying that Orozco is the third centre midfielder. Oh, yeah. And that worked really well with Leon and Kone and Obi, didn't it, as well? So again, the thing about Orozco is that we brought him in, he's the next Casido, etc. But we've cried wolf again on that too many times as well. Leon was meant to be ready to go. Kone was meant to be ready to go. Obi was meant to be ready to go. So again, they're kids as well. They can't be part of the roster. They've got to be in addition to the roster so that even if they do well, we can take them in and out. Costas says, we're always playing bloody catch-up in the market. Some of these signings should have been done to build the squad as we always screw the transfer window. Sir Alex would never be beaten in the market. And has Anderson commented on City and United interest? Yeah, but, you know, VX as well. I mean, I was quite hopeful that because the World Cup starts a week today and because most World Cup teams are in the US now, and because Anderson hadn't signed for City, I was sort of hoping it was going to go after the World Cup because that benefits us anyway. You know, the City charges come out, he might change his mind. But more importantly, it allows us to work on other deals because the minute Elliot Anderson signs for Man City for 105 million, that's a marker in the sand for everybody else to say, well, he went for that, so we want this. But obviously Man City have put a bid in. Now, Man City have probably put a bid in because they're thinking if he does well in the World Cup, that price is going to go up. So they'll probably go back with another bid before the weekend, and that deal could be done before the World Cup. And then that's a reason for Man United to move quickly on Fernandes, because once Elliot Anderson's done and it's 105 million, West Ham can say, OK, maybe Fernandes isn't Elliot Anderson and maybe he's not Declan Rice, but in the last few days and in the last few years, Declan Rice has gone for 105 million to Arsenal and Elliot Anderson's gone for 105 million to Man City from Forest. So we want 70 for Fernandes. So if we want Fernandes, we do need to move a bit quick, because once that Elliot Anderson deal is done, it will put a marker in the sand for the midfield prices this summer. And obviously they won't ask for 100 million, but they can ask for 70. Thank you very much for that. Done that one as well. Great show this morning, by the way. Thanks everybody who's tuning in. Please do make sure that you are subscribing to the channel as well. Bottom right-hand corner to do that. We're very close to 268,000, actually, so make sure you're getting involved. We have got a 2 o'clock show for you and an 8 o'clock show. I'm back with you for that one as well, too. Just some quick United stand stuff as well. Really exciting things being worked on at the moment ahead of the new season. I know it's about to go crazy with the World Cup. And look, I'll be honest, in previous years, sometimes a World Cup happens and we're all on that's football because it's the World Cup. And I'm not debating that. It probably will happen for the first 2 weeks because there's three or four games. It is crazy. But I also think that there's going to be a lot going on over here. Sometimes when a major tournament happens, it does reduce the amount of stuff going on. And I'll tell you why. Because journalists, if it's a bank holiday Monday, it'll be a quiet day because they're off. There'll be a lot of journalists covering the World Cup and it's busy. So what happened, you know, they can't cover two things at once. But I'm telling you now, the journalists that stick covering transfer stuff over the World Cup will make hay, because there's going to be a lot of stuff going on. I was speaking to that agent a couple of days ago. I was talking to you yesterday about the Fernandes West Ham thing and what will be happening there. And they were saying, look, it's not going to shut down. The transfer window is too important for too many teams. Liverpool, new manager. Man City, new manager. Chelsea, new manager. Man United, new manager. Real Madrid, new manager. There's so many clubs that need to do stuff. They can't sit and wait until the back end of July and say, let's go to work. They have to be working now. And there's a lot of players that aren't playing at the World Cup that are available. So I think it's going to be very busy. And even if United only signed 5 players, we average 6 weeks per deal. So we need to do a deal every 2 to 3 weeks just to buy 5 players before the season's transfer window is over. So I think it will be busy. Thank you, everybody, for tuning in this morning. Do you think we'll still get Belabor, says GK? I don't think you can rule it out. We shouldn't be, but I don't think you can rule it out. Because you know what? If Elliot Anderson is hard, Belabor is easy. Nobody wants Belabor. And he's desperate to sign for us. And that's your that, and I think sometimes that's the ambition of Man United in a sentence. Is it easy? Let's do that. Let's see. Thanks everyone for watching. Great show this morning. I'll speak to you all in a bit. Take care. Stay safe. And thank you very much for watching. Oh, career mode should be on today. Yes. I'm waiting to see when the update comes out on FC26. But career mode with Portugal should be today. I just need to set it up again. I might do it about 3 o'clock. We'll wait and see. Thank you.
Looking for excitement? Chumba Casino is here. Play anytime, play anywhere. Play on the train, play at the store, play at home, play when you're bored. Play today for your chance to win and get daily bonuses when you log in. So what are you waiting for? Don't delay. Chumba Casino is free to play.
Experience social gameplay like never before. Go to Chumba Casino right now to play hundreds of games, including online slots, bingo, Slingo, and more. Live the Chumba life at ChumbaCasino.com.
Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.